Riders, Rangers, and Rebels, Season 2.
Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 3.
In a world where Toku fans are easy and the wrong figure arts are released for retail, three man children stand not quite shoulder to shoulder with their trusty spray can at their side.
Welcome to the RR Podcast. We bring you the latest in Toku news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity.
Our name is the RR Podcast. 5 years ago, we made it our mission to bring you the latest Toku news in the craziest way possible.
RR Season 7. Yeah, we're still here.
Hello, welcome to RR Season 7, Episode 1.
The Streets Awaken.
Oh my god. He went there.
I did. The streets have awoken because they are the best medium for us to do everything from, is the streets.
It explains the tiny highway.
See? It's the streets like awaken. Starts, let it go!
In fact, Kevin's reporting from the streets right now.
Streets correspondent.
He just got done spreading it all over Cordy.
It was good.
What's funny is that's accurate, I mean.
Taped it up afterwards, too.
We're not even joking.
He basically just treated her like a burrito.
Oh, God.
The easiest way to make these is you just tape it up afterwards. Can't get back out that way.
Okay, so, I'm not tired or anything, whatsoever. So, the one-ups.
Dude, Brian will fall asleep during the podcast this time. I'll stay the whole
time. I got Uncharted 4.
I touched my
I've played a little bit of it. Cat's played a lot of it. And
classic
I'm trying
cat.
Really hard not to stare at the TV because it's kind of hypnotizing. Not gonna lie, but anyway, like that's really cool. The statue that comes with it is really awesome, so that's a plus. It looks good so far too. Other than that, I got some more Pokemon cards because I
Pokemon.
Needed more.
No way.
You're into Pokemon?
No way.
That's still a thing.
No way.
No way. I think other than that, I think that's it. I mean, I had a trip to the casino that was incredibly profitable, and that was really fun.
Makes
but in terms of, like, purchases and stuff, that's really been about it is Pokemon cards and Uncharted. I got 2 Snorlax shirts. That was fun. But anywho, I think that's it, so go
you
ahead.
I suppose I don't have too much either. I don't have Uncharted, but I also have 2 copies because I forgot I pre-ordered on Amazon, and then I went and ordered the collector's edition from Walmart, so I have to send the Amazon one back and wait an extra day for the collector's edition, but gotta get them statues.
It's worth it. It's a good statue.
Picture of a battered highway cone hanging over his bed.
There was no more battered highway cones. The last class was just critique, and that ended, so art is over for now. And there was free burritos on one day, so that was fun. And apparently we, like, illegally got some burritos because you're supposed to prove you registered for classes to get the free burritos. But we just kind of walked in and took the burritos and drinks and left. And because, like, the people that were behind us were like, well, how did you get the burritos? You didn't have a bracelet. I'm like, I don't know. We just kind of walked up like we own the place and we just got the burritos. So, like, that's my one-ups. I got a burrito. I've become Kevin. Jesus. I finished the Elite Four of Johto, and I'm in Kanto right now on Soul Silver, Heart Gold, sorry. And so I'm hoping, like, within the next week to wrap it up so I can get on to Ruby. Yeah. Or Sapphire, goddamn it, man. But I think that's pretty much it. Yeah. That's about all. That's about all.
Well, I received my Ark and Ray belt from Brian Friday. And then that evening, we went to see Civil War, and we were actually on time for the movies this time. Normally we walk in part of the way into the previews. And
we were late.
We were so determined to be early that we went. We're like, well, we need to get dinner first. So we went to Popeye's, which is like less than a block away from the theater.
How accurate was I with the food thing? Sorry.
And so we go there, like the show's for like 8:30. We get there like at 8 o'clock, I think, and we go inside. I go like wait in line for popcorn while she's like, I'm gonna go get our seats. I'm like, okay. Well, the previous showing hadn't even really finished, so she just walked into the middle of the credits. Half the people are gone because they don't understand Marvel movies yet for some fucking reason. And so she saw the after the credit scene, which didn't make any fucking sense. And then they come in to like clean the theater, and the first couple of guys, like at this point I've gotten my popcorn and on snacks and shit and drinks, and I see the sign that says now cleaning, so I'm gonna wait outside because I know they're gonna kick me out. She's still sitting in the chair. And the first couple of guys are like, oh, no, she's fine. And then some chick comes in and they're like, oh, you have to leave. And she's like, you for the next showing? She's like, yeah. She's like, oh, well, you have to leave. And so she, like, kicked her out. So she came out, like, all mad and, like, put up one of those little, like, vinyl rope things, the little stretchy ones you pull out of the pole. And,
you know, that's right.
Like, to keep us from coming back into the theater. And I was laughing. I thought it was funny. Apparently it wasn't as funny as I thought it was. But so that happened, and we saw Civil War. I got my box today from Mandarake with my Ishinomori icon and my Galileo icon, and then the first Ganma set, which that's a thing. I don't think I actually got anything else. I don't even think I did. I've just been trying to get ready to go try and meet Y. Today I went to go watch Pokemon to do the podcast, and Kaylee revolted, and she was like, so we're going to watch Pokemon. She's like, yay, no, I want to watch Survivors. Survivor. I'm like, you need to calm down. Like, I have to watch Pokemon because I have to talk about it later on the podcast. So we're watching that.
We do a critical analysis every week.
Right, like, she just was not feeling it. She did not want to watch the Pokemon. She wanted to watch more Survivor.
Stop laughing at me, you asshole.
I will laugh at you all I want.
He's hard.
But she still thinks anybody who wins that she doesn't want to win is cheating, which is funny to me. But, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I don't know if anything else happened in my life.
Oh, God. It's happening. It's finally happening.
What, Brian got kicked out of his chair by a cat, and no cat's
the wolves,
over.
They're coming!
It's a dire wolf. Cat revealed herself to be a wolf, and she turned into a wolf. And then she attacked Brian. And then she woofed at him. And now he's retreated to the roof.
I don't know what's happening, but I feel scared, and like I want to hug Dawson.
That must be really scared. I don't even know what's happening anymore.
What are you at me?
We're trying to play a game, God!
Shut up! Fucking asshole!
hear this a lot, don't you, Dawson?
You what?
That you're a fucking asshole.
I'm not hearing
anything. You're talking to me.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm just
I hear someone get called a fucking asshole, I assume it's Dawson.
It was lining up really accurately, but no, she was talking to me.
For once.
So anyway.
Classic Brian and Kat mess around.
There's one for the bingo card. Season 7, still active. Okay, so on... On to the news, I guess. Go ahead and...
You got some news this week?
Well, I'm bringing it up.
Bring up the news website.
Because, you know, there's one of those.
It's just called www.news.com, and it just customizes the news to your brain synapses.
But hold on, I found something pretty cool.
What's if that, you... Brian? I'm sorry.
You are terrible.
If you type EEE instead of www.
You go to the Shocker website.
It's news. It's normal news, but it's different. Perhaps too different.
Is it perhaps something else?
Would some say it's the reverse? Oh.
Yes.
Oh really?
Let me try this.
Maybe I should go to.
Oh man, you are right.
In fact, this article here says that it's weird because you know how we get Power Rangers and everything all the time, but it according to this
Power Rangers.
What?
What is Power Rangers?
No. You know what it is. No. It's falling apart.
I broke Brian. It worked. I broke
him.
It worked. I broke Brian. My plan was a success.
Mass Rider Super Orange.
What? That be cray cray.
It's just Gaim, guys.
It says executive producer Bud Min. I don't know why his name is so different. His brother's Kip Hackman. Look at this pop-up ad on the side that says Pogs are still a thing, and it just says pictures of Pogs.
Don't come by Pogs.
I love Pogs.
Well, there's a link here to a new Metal Heroes. It looks like it's another anniversary series, and they're bringing back a bunch of past actors because that's all they do for anniversary series, apparently, in this place, too. Is this fucking bring back old has-been people. And it says they're including some people from the now-defunct Super Sentai series. So that sounds like a thing that, I don't know, that's weird. More Metal Heroes.
I wonder if they have Metal Hero keys of completely irrelevant people that aren't Metal Heroes.
Possibly. And it looks like it's directed by a Sokichi Nakamoto? I don't...
There's another article about this overstuffed Captain Britain movie adding in Mick Flurry. And it's played by Jake Johnson, and he's got an eye patch.
Why is there a Mick Flurry? Is it like a drink? They just added a,
no.
Like a dessert to the movie?
No, but I mean, there is an advertisement for Nick Fury's, which looks to be a delicious ice cream drink, but I mean, that's like, it seems unrelated. I don't know if it's a last-minute decision.
Clearly.
This is one I approve of.
Adding a McFlurry to anything sounds like a good idea.
Oh, look, there's a link to Amazon so you can buy William Hung's latest breakout album. She Bangs Too, The Streets. Oh, man. Looks like the streets still work here on EEE Earth. Oh, look, you can like their MySpace page.
Oh, cool. I wonder who's in their top 10.
Oh, that's neat. You can add them on Friendster. This was a thing.
This was a thing that happened.
I'm gonna back out before things get too stupid.
Oh, yes! Dunkaroos, just like Iris and Barry are together on all Earths, Dunkaroos exist on all Earths except ours. I still can't find him.
Ours is the worst Earth, confirmed.
It really is. So, where do we go from here?
Somewhere a little back saner. School.
Let's go to WWW again.
Yeah.
We go to acting school, that's where we go.
We need a lot more than that at this point, let's
be honest. I think I'm the only one that needs to go, so potentially for the next one, I'm the only one starring in it.
Spoilers!
Spoilers! I mean... Potatoes? I don't know, I panicked.
Pineapple.
So, real talk.
Real talk.
What's the first bit of actual Earth One news that we want to talk? There's a lot today.
Let's go with the PR movie suit, since that broke like literally after.
Yeah, it was the day after, because let's be real, that's just what always happens.
Yeah, you're welcome, Earth.
There'll be something newsworthy tomorrow for sure. So
yeah, as usual. But yeah, so we got our, just like with Rita, we got our first look at the movie suits, and they've been out for a while, and there's been a ton of Iron Man jokes and obnoxious Iron Man jokes and all
bad
that
Iron
stuff.
Man jokes.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I mentioned in my little video that I didn't like immediately love him at first, but it's funny because when I made that video, I didn't read, of course, the thing about the alien bit, and people were like, "We already did." Yeah, exactly. I had to, you know, call the Hooked on Phonics crew. You know, after I read that, like, I really like the concept of it. Like, I know people are like, "We've gotten alien powers before." I'm like, "No, we got from Japan, and we just said they're alien." But like the concept of them sort of being like alien suits, like, it kind of reminds me of the movie Star Kid. It's an obscure reference.
That's one for the bingo.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I think that concept's really cool because there really is like an alien-like quality to them. Like, they're wearing suits that would be from an alien planet. I'm not making it up. Google Star Kid.
This is weird.
Did you Google it?
I'm on Wikipedia.
Oh, okay. Wikipedia.
That's the thing. There's literally nobody I know in this movie. Oh, wait, Danny Masterson is in this movie. Okay, well, there's literally nobody else in this movie.
There's nobody. It's an empty movie. It's just scenery.
I mean, there's people in it, but I don't know who these people are. Is this the kid from Jurassic Park?
I don't know. I don't know his life.
Who the fuck is Tim?
I guess he was the little Taylor? Boy.
Santa
that
Claus.
Tim. Oh.
That sounded like some sort of Donkey Kong laugh or something. Or like, it reminded me of some sort of N64 laugh soundbite.
I hope you die.
Me too. This is off to a very positive note. So what do you guys think?
That wasn't bad
acting. Just
I like the suits. Fuck you. Fuck everyone. Give a shit about people. Fucking douche nozzle. Hating on shit because it's sounds cool. Huh? Fuck him in the ass with a big stick.
Yeah, sticks. No,
this show?
I really like the suits a lot. I think they're awesome. I do have some issues with the helmets. I don't think they're, like, different enough. They all seem very samey. But at the same time, they don't feel done.
Like, I feel like also seeing them in motion and, like, seeing from different angles, we might see more little details we're not seeing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Like, that picture isn't really good. I'm not going to write them off yet because we've only seen one stupid picture. But.
Well, that's why I don't get all pissy about it, because it's the same thing we experience with the Sentai and the Rider stuff, is we can't always get the best view from, like, the initial picture, so we'll go, well, we kind of like this, whatever, but we'll have to see it in motion, and it's kind of what this is here. Once we see, like, an actual trailer or something where they're moving around in them and different angles, we'll be able to be like, oh, this is a fucking cool suit, or now these things kind of suck. Like, but, I mean, my initial opinion is very positive of them. You know, it's you can see where it's like the original suits, but then at the same time, it's new. It's Grimdark. Grimdark is always good.
Everyone loves that.
We all know that Grimdark is what the fandom wants, so. Who doesn't want anything Grimdark? I love Grimdark.
It's funny, like, some of the comments I get on my video about, like, oh man, it looks like they're trying to appeal to a more mature audience or, like, a wider audience. I'm like, wait, you're accusing them of trying, of achieving their goal? Like, is that what you're accusing them of? Or if someone said, oh, the Megazord's gonna look like the Bayformers, I'm like, that sounds like a positive point for me. I like the design of the Transformers from the movies. It's just, like, all these kind of funnily obnoxious comments.
It's just all the people that want it to be their childhood and believe that seeing this has now ruined their childhood.
I saw a lot of that.
Every time somebody says this ruins my childhood, their childhood should retroactively be ruined by the universe. That should be the law of the land.
It was funny, I was sitting at work, as usual, looking at stuff that has nothing to do with work, and I'm on Brian's thing, and I see his Twitter feed pop up on the side of the blog, and it says something about the comments on this. So I said, oh, this will be fun. Click. And it was the news article for the suits. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun. So as soon as people left around me where I could read them in peace, I just scrolled through and started reading the comments, and it was just like, oh, I love your butthurt tears. Oh, your anger stains me. Like, I was just, like, enjoying every second of watching these fucking assholes complain about one picture. Like, so much hate and stupidity flowing out for one picture.
I am nourished by your hatred.
That's pretty much my general thought.
I don't even need dinner tonight. I just want to sustain myself off of your hatred.
It's a calmer version of Damien Dark's powers.
Right? Energy for your butt hurt.
Energy. Man, it's been a while since that one.
Yeah, it's
right.
If Ben 10 hadn't been canceled, I feel like that would be on the bingo.
Maybe soon. Maybe actually, yeah. He's not in it.
Probably not. It's all original people and humanoid stink fly.
So yeah, there was that. I feel like there was some other
ghost movie.
Ghost. Yeah.
So they had the scan of, I guess, like the latest toy stuff. It just shows Mugen Damashii for the first time, which was pretty neat. Then they show the movie icon set. It's a three icon set. One is the Dark Ghost icon. Dark Ghost is the bad guy of the movie. It's a black and white version of Tokon Boost.
Ghost. Sorry,
I'm gonna murder this bitch. Then the next icon is actually, I think, one he uses, if I understand correctly, and it's the Napoleon icon. And it's blue, and the Damashii is wearing, like, a French army guy's hat or whatever. It looks hilariously awesome. And then the final icon is for Ghost, and it's the Darwin icon. I'm really not sure exactly what the design is, but it's orange and I like it. So that's an August release. Makes me happy to get more icons. What it does not make me happy is that in addition to all this other shit, they're like, oh, but not that I'm going to buy this, but like, oh, here's another set of Rider Ghost icons, but this time they're metallics.
They've gone metallic.
Oh my god.
And so it's the first 10 Hesse Riders, all metallic, with 45 special stands, one for like every icon. It's like the 15 heroes plus Ghost, like Ore, Spectre, Necrom, Tokon Boost, Deep Spectre, what were the other ones they had? They had like Nightingale and Columbus, I think.
Yeah, they were on that list for whatever reason.
Both versions of the 45 icon, like, they had like everything. Santa? Was Santa on there? I don't remember.
I don't think Santa was on there.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
It was stupid. And then oh no, what it was all 16 riders, and then they had like four hidden ones that are secret for some reason. Probably it's just like Mugen and then this set right here.
If you go to that page, in that picture where they show the big group of icons, like that one in the middle, what is that one?
I think it's either Columbus or Nightingale.
Okay.
Because I was wondering the same thing. And, so I saw that, and then...
Columbus.
Yeah. And then they announced SH Figure Arts Gourd Drive. Gourd Drive is a...
Commissioner Gourd Drive.
is a September release. It, for some reason, is a retail release. I don't understand.
It's so stupid. How is Chaser a fucking exclusive and Gourd Drive is a fucking retail release? Like, what kind of bullshit is this?
Isn't Necrom exclusive too?
Yes. G-O-R-D Gourd Drive.
Like,
I was just going to say, meanwhile, Necrom and Chaser and these other things are exclusives. My mind is blown.
Like, I think it's annoying that those two are exclusive, but I'm not really mad at Gold being retail just because I can get them without being shunned by a Frenchman. Like, so, like, I'm able to actually get it, and, like, I really like this suit, but yeah, the logic behind it is, I don't know. Especially since usually... or at least in the past, the stuff that was almost immediately an exclusive was, you know, stuff that's repaints like that. So, I don't know. But I'm glad to at least be able to click buy instead of click cry because you're being ignored.
So that's a...
Whenever I get ignored, I put my boot in someone's ass. But at least on this page, you do get to see all 10... of these Rider Damashis, and they look pretty cool.
Yeah, they do. I still really like Hibiki's.
Yeah, Hibiki makes me hard in pants.
I think that's all the Toku-related stuff. We'll save the Pokemon stuff for the Pokemon discussion.
Oh, it's got a stand for the blank ghost icon.
Yeah, I saw that and I kind of laughed a little bit.
That's the one I couldn't think of, was the blank icon, and I just wanted to punch myself in the dick and just be like, make the pain go away.
Make the pain stop, mommy. Make the pain stop. The black and gold Dragonzord's out now. That's a thing, too.
Oh, yeah, I found that today. I forgot about that.
I found my penis today.
Oh, did you?
They were in the same location. It was awkward.
This icon set is 99.99 yen.
That's just a scam to make you think it's cheaper. Then it's really in the next bracket. Oh god, I just heard a Thermion.
Well, that's why
Translator is broken.
I bought that icon set, like the Ganma one. Even though they don't do anything, I got it because it was cheaper than the list price. Like, which is so much better than having to, like, go through Oki. And then, so then it's marked up on top of the fact that it's, you know, stupid. I'm just noticing that all 10 of these Damashii are on different people. So, like, Fuga is on Ghost. Agito's on Spectre. Ryuki's on Ghost. Fize is on Necrom. So is Blade. Hibiki's on Ghost. Kabuto's on Necrom. Deno is on Ghost. Kiba is on Necrom. And Decade is on Spectre. Huh.
Like, that was exciting.
The more
my
you know.
Right off.
I don't know. I just happened to notice it when I was scrolling through this website. I was bored, and y'all were just being gay. So
seems about right. So now it's time for
masturbation.
Before that,
superhero time. What are we on? Juoja.
Season 7, we still got it.
Go, I completely, like, forgot the name of the Sentai show.
Which is understandable this week.
Yeah, it was a really forgettable filler episode.
I was okay with it, like, as usual, because I do enjoy the characters, but, like, this week was just, like, super boring.
Yeah. Like, so very little to discuss, even. Sorry.
Leo was like, I want to get me some human pussy.
I thought you said Theo. And I'm like, dude, we're not... Wrong animal show. We're not even talking about Cosby.
Oh, God.
And then, like, he thought that the chick was into Yamato, but it turned out she just thought he looked like her parakeet or something. I don't know. They were trying to find Kaiza still. There was something about an axe. Did I miss where someone said something about an axe? I just know, like, they picked up a stone axe and it turned into Cube Kuma.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Like, they're like, oh, we'll use this. So they pick up a rock that's, like, vaguely shaped like an axe somehow, magically. And then it turns into, like, Cube Kuma.
It's like, oh, the axe turned into Cube Kuma. I'm like, wait, did someone... Because then they ask, like, did the Birdman know Cube Kuma was here? And I'm like, wait, did somebody mention an axe? Did I miss something?
If you missed something, I missed it too, which is possible because I was only half paying attention. But
okay.
This is a total earshot-worthy episode.
Other than Cube Kuma being cool, like, there's nothing here, like, at all.
Yeah. But to be fair, we had 12, you know, pretty good episodes and then this one, so.
Well, like, it was that great recently.
It was still okay, it's just, there's...
Yeah, it just wasn't that good. Yeah, nothing really happened.
Like, I mean, Bella most girls kind of like that, but it was kind of dull, even, you know? Because there can be filler that's, like, memorable or, like, super funny or something, but this was just really dull.
Yeah.
Like, that was fun when Stella and Tusk got dipped in the mud, and Mama was like, nope, I'm good.
I don't even remember that. So I guess they didn't check the memorable box. But, there's really not much to say, but so Ghost, I guess, which was better. I thought that him rushing into battle while eating takoyaki was, like, over the top.
Oh my god, that was, like, the best thing ever.
It was gorgeous, like, though.
I thought it was just too much. Like, it was just one too far for me.
I was trying to figure out how he didn't spill it.
Right?
Well, he's off very carefully. But, like, you know, I was all for, like, I liked the idea of that little story, like, of him getting remotivated and, like, his connection with Lady Tran. But, like, I think that it was funny, for sure, but, like, there's, like, a time for doing it over the top, and I think it would have gotten the sentiment across if he had just shown up in the ugly sweater. But he's like, full-on made his transformation into monologuing Toku Hero now, so, who just talks about hearts and people and humanity, so... This is where we're at now.
The old lady is dead, and she's still a better character than Akari and Onari.
That's just true. Mostly because she's Lady Tran.
Yeah.
She's automatically best character.
I like your hat. I like that it's just a knit hat. It doesn't even have a logo or a team or anything.
Necromus knit confirmed. I have absolutely enjoyed.
Sorry.
Yeah, I thought about that. I've absolutely enjoyed the action sequences in the last two episodes because Koichi was doing it.
And I didn't even know.
If Koichi's doing the action for the series or the episodes, it automatically makes them, like, 10 times more enjoyable than they normally would be. So, like, they were actually kind of, like, doing their, like, flying ghost shit for a bit. I'm like, thank you, Koichi.
I totally
you understand
forgot
what
about
a
that.
Ghost is.
They only had that, like, at the very beginning or, like, in his little, like, teaser in the movie, and they stopped doing that. I totally forgot about that.
Right.
So that was nice. I appreciated that. It made it a lot more, like, worthy to pay attention to. Because normally I just kind of, like, zone out.
And then they at least make it look pretty. They triple rider kicked that fiery guy that they've been killing several times already.
Hopefully it's dead permanently. Like,
what I really enjoyed was actually getting to see Ghost's base form again.
And like, Spectre's was nice.
Yeah, and because he did the boost Ghost thing, like, super early on. Like, it was just because of the way, like, Grateful works, I guess, that he still uses boost so much. Like, I was trying to remember a time that we've seen the base form so little. Like, I know we, like, switch over to the other forms, but, like, usually there's, like, a transition more, but, like, he uses it so little. I mean, I'm sure there was a time I was just having a hard time thinking of it. Exactly.
Goddamn asshole.
I hit the button a little too soon.
You're an asshole, go ahead.
My mute button.
Oh, okay.
My bad.
What's that?
It's fine. There was, I didn't even know there was behind-the-scenes drama happening.
You could do it.
Shut up. I don't even remember what I was talking about. Oh, yeah, Ghost regular form not being seen very often.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to point out, because I don't know if you're going to be able to watch it or not at any point, is the first part of the Alon story that's with the Blu-rays came out. And it basically kind of hints at the fact that the Lady Tran was the first human, like, she was a little girl at the time, but the first human he interacted with when he first came to the human world.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
He, like, every time he came back, he kept finding her.
Oh.
And so that might lead to something. And then at the very end of the special, it's only, like, 13 minutes, but at the very end, he runs into her granddaughter, which we saw in this episode at the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, connecting his story with Lady Tran. So it's pretty... It's interesting, at the very least.
That is neat. Like... I'm willing to bet it's on the streaming site I use, because they have a bunch of stuff, so I'll have to check it out. Damn it, Brian. This is serious.
Shut up!
I know, right? Oh my god, Brian, shut up! You're such a jerk right now! Trying to play a game, god! Oh my god, just die. Oh my god, the full restore is real.
I'm laughing for so many reasons right now. So anyhow.
What even is the show anymore?
Season 7. That's what it is.
Yep. Off to a brilliant start.
Absolutely. But anyhow.
Is there anything else to say? It was, you know, I mean, this is really isn't a hugely important comment, but, I mean, it was a decent episode, but I was just thinking about how little I cared about the secondary, like, plot of the week or 2 weeks about the girl and her dad.
Yellow Buster and her dad?
Yeah, like, I never really cared that much, but, like, I had, like, an extra level of apathy about the whole situation.
Yeah, cause like, it was really stupid. Like, they were trying to dance around the fact that he was just possessed by a Gamma Icon. And yeah. So they're all like, oh, we'll help you find him. Even though they could just said, yeah, he's kind of possessed by, like, this bad, like, eye thing. And so he's not really your dad.
He's got, like, pink eye, but, like, really bad. That's what it is.
So really, you can't do anything about it. Just calm down. Go back to the base. I'm sure they're worried about you.
And I feel like just the more, like, better stuff about the whole plot was about, like, Alan and you know, Lady Tran. But it was just, I don't know, I just had an extra level of just not caring. And, like, the Houdini stuff kind of fell flat for me, and I don't know.
Because it was that stupid form of humor again.
Yeah. Like, my favorite one of the they've done for that type of deal was Ryoma. Yeah, because it was the first one they did.
It's because it wasn't really weird. Like, chains didn't come out of nowhere with confetti.
Yeah, and, like, it was sort of funny, but it, like, served more of a purpose, and it kind of reminded me of, you know, Denno and stuff, and so... Yeah, like, it's a kind of a mechanic I wish they used earlier, and then I wish they use it better now, like, not for as much stupid humor.
Steve Bills is a asshole.
Oh, God, I forgot about him. What a name, Steve Bills. He's like what we would do for Earth 2-Bit Bill Gates or something, the name, at least.
I like that guy, though, because he could speak competent English.
Yeah, and competent Japanese as well, so... It still is always weird to see that, though. Just, it's almost like... When we're watching these toku shows, it's like we're watching, like, an Earth 2 or something where everyone's just Japanese, you know what I mean? So it's like when somebody shows up, like, a character, it's like, oh, this is weird. It's one of the alien people. Got the Thunder Badge. That's how he says it, the Thunder Badge. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there's not a lot to say. Like, it's... We still haven't talked a lot, but there wasn't a whole lot of, like, in-depth material to go on about this week.
Yeah, like, it was really nice to watch, but, like, the discussion points aren't hugely there. I mean, whatever the Gamma are plotting, they're still plotting.
Yeah. Whatever they're doing, you know, hello, it's me, all that Adele stuff.
Takaru has, like, Esper powers now. Takaru wa Esper Des.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. He, like, vibed on shit. I'm like, bitch, you ain't Cisco. You ain't no Cisco. You're not my real Cisco. Okay. Well, now it's time for Oh, no, it's Dino Charge. Thank God. But now
I'm still bitter at those damn episode summaries, because, like, before there was at least a sliver of hope that Supercharge would come back and be really good, and then those descriptions came out and it's just like,
I know, I was just talking to George about that, how, like, you know, it was so much filler and there was, like, joke about how much filler it was, but I thought that there was a chance that when we came back for the back half that we would have some more plot going on, but it's literally like 95% filler. It's just the last episode where something happens. It's kind of crazy.
Oh well.
Alright, but now it's time for
Ramble time.
So, Pokemon, to get the business out of the way first, in this episode, what's her name? Eevee Evolved? I always forget her name.
Serena.
Serena, there we go. So that was a thing, and I kind of earshot it, so I don't remember too much about it. I mean,
it was okay. It was fun. It just wasn't. It wasn't spectacular.
Anything I don't like remember that. Like or, the reason why she evolved.
Everyone was in like friendship. Really awesome bow ties and shit. It was great. There was a Munchlax in the background that had a bow tie and like a suit collar, but that was like all he had on, and it was adorable.
I'm sorry, I missed it. No.
Like,
I don't remember, like, obviously I know, like, the friendshipy reasons of why Eevee evolved, but I don't remember, like, the specific, like, catalyst of it other than her, like, grabbing the ribbon or whatever was happening. It was, like, evolving around her. What if she, like, permanently, like, fused with it and, like, it was part of her hand or something? That's her Ask Greninja, and she just uses it like a sock and bopper.
Serena Sylveon.
Exactly. That would be weird. I'm just getting a really weird mental picture out of what I just said. I just don't remember that specific part. But at least it was an event episode. Event episode. There we go. Event episode. Classic me. Okay. But like the real news, it's time to get to like the real main point of this podcast, to be honest. Which is we got our first Sun and Moon trailer. We got to see the starters and the legendaries and a little bit of the game and, like, the protagonists and the professors and the guy that George is, like, crushing on. Like, within 10 minutes of the trailer, there was, like, 15, like, shirtless pictures of him in my feed.
I know. The fan art. Let me give huge ass props to the Pokemon fan art community for being the fastest motherfuckers on the planet.
I know, right?
Like, the trailer came out in my time at 8 a.m. I woke up at 9. There was already fucking fan art everywhere. I'm like, Jesus Christ, you people are... You're like the Flash of fan art.
It's like they're sitting there waiting with like a pencil for the trailer to come out, and they begin to draw as they're first watching the trailer. Like, right, it's crazy.
Sea lion, kitten, buff professor guy...
Oh man, like almost like what if they just had like a rough outline of any possible animal and so they just have to go to it. Like, it's especially crazy since I just got out of that art class and I'm thinking about like how difficult of a time I had with various art things. I mean, granted, it probably is a bit easier in some respects drawing that than an owl, like, that's shaped just like a sort of circle compared to like drawing a figure, but still.
So that was that. Yeah, they're the speediest motherfuckers, but there was a lot of good stuff I saw, so that was really fun. But so we have not even talking about like the stuff like in the games yet. As for the starters, we have Rowlet as the grass starter. It's grass flying type, and we have Litten as the fire type. And I'm saying Piplio until I have any other sort of
signification. That's a new word. Words.
What the hell am I looking for?
There's no names for the legendaries yet, right?
Reason to think it's something else is, I guess, what I'm going to try to say. The legendaries do not have names yet.
Seems weird.
But given the fact that the Japanese names of the starters, their trademarks were found at the same time as two trademarks for Solgaleo and Lunala, those are probably going to be the legendaries' names. We could romanize them a little bit differently, so they might be a little bit different, but they're probably going to be pretty close to something along the lines of that.
Yeah, I forgot about that. It just seems weird, like, you know, just logically, to give us the look of them, but not the name.
Yeah, that was really weird. I think they're probably going to be in the next issue of Korokoro.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we get name confirmations on those, just in case they are different. But we also get, like, maybe one or two other Pokemon.
Yeah, kind of like we did with last time. I was trying to remember, if I remember right... When I was thinking about it, we got like magazine scans of the middle stages, but then we had to wait for the leaks to see the final stages. Was that right?
I honestly couldn't tell you.
Oh, damn it, Brian. You're the Pokemon guy. I'm just the guy.
Yeah, I know, but I don't remember, like, timelines of leaks.
Okay. Well, because I was thinking about, like, you know, I was excited to see the starters, and I was like, I can't wait to see what their evolutions look like, and I got bummed because I was thinking that we waited until, like, the leaks started coming out to see them, but then I thought I remembered seeing magazine scans of the middle stages. Yeah, I think we did, because everyone was bitching about Quilladin. And then I think we had to wait for, like, when people got the game to see, you know...
Chestnut.
Yeah, Chestnut and Frogadier. No, Ninja. Right. Yeah, there we go. I was on the right track. But Delphox. So, yeah, I was just trying to think of that. But if I remember also that, if that was the thing I'm remembering correctly, the scans of the middle stages were kind
Kiefer,
of close
Kiefer
to
will probably remember.
Yeah, he'll put it in the review or Twitter or both. But like I just remember him being kind of close to when the game came out. But bottom line is I want to see their evolutions. Like
yeah, because like right now I kind of like them all. I think Piplio's kind of like my least. But not by much. Like, it's really going to depend on what the final evolutions look like and what their typing ends up being. Because right now I'm really torn between, like, Rowlet because it's honestly the greatest thing, and Litten because I usually pick the fire types. But it's really going to depend on, like, if there's any other grass flying or fire types that I want to use once more of the roster starts coming out. So I think that might actually end up being the deciding factor on who I pick for my first playthrough, but we'll see. But I like them all a lot. They're really cute.
Like I always gravitate towards the water one, so like it's almost become tradition that I pick the water one, with the exception of when I did Torchic way back in Ruby. But like I do like them all. I think the owl is my favorite because he's just, and I mentioned that like in my video that like. I like how different Chespin and Rowlet are from, like, the normally grass types are, if you know what I mean. It was, like, hard to convey.
Mm.
But, like, I like that, and I like that he's different, and, I mentioned that I thought that Litten might end up being dark fire, but someone had this weird theory about him being dark poison, or dark poison, fire poison, which I don't remember what the reasoning was, which I would think would be interesting, I guess.
Like, does it have rabies or something?
I don't know. There's something about sticky or something. I don't remember. But, like, I hope there's some interesting typing there. I don't know if Piplia will become anything dual typed or anything like that.
If it's fire dark, I think I have to pick it because those are my two favorite types.
Like, I want it because of when we thought Tepig was going to be it. Because I like how it's just because they have black coloring, we're like, dark type confirmed!
Yeah, like, mentally, I do that all the time. It's like, oh, that Pokemon's purple, it's psychic or poison.
Yeah, so it's like, it just seems like, I don't think it would be firefighting again, because we did skip over it with last generation, so.
Yeah, plus if you make, like, an evolved cat of fighting type, it's just kind of dumb.
Yeah, so, But I do like all three of them. I feel like Piplio's gonna evolve into something cool just because it's like my least favorite of them, but I still like him. Like, he's kind of got this charm to him, and I like his little animation. Like, he looks kind of like he's simultaneously kind of smug but like having a blast.
Yeah.
Rowlet was a little bit ruined for me today when my friend told me that people were saying that its nose looks like a vagina, like the slit. Like, I'm like, thanks for that.
I like the gifs people made of him, like, firing lasers out of his eyes and blowing up, like, Piplio, and then turning around, like, his neck 180 and blowing up the trainer.
Yeah, that was great. But yeah, I love seeing starters. The only bad thing about this is that now, like, that's gone, and, you know, obviously we're going to be seeing all kinds of new Pokemon, but now it's going to be a long time before we see new starters again, but there's something special about the starters, seeing them. So, but, like, we still have the more forms to see, which I'm looking forward to. And it's nice, too, because, I mean, it's in November, but it'll be a pretty like semi-steady stream, I'm thinking of like hopefully little bits of new Pokemon, which will be nice.
Yeah, because if I remember X and Y, like every Korokoro issue, they revealed like one or two new Pokemon, I believe. If I'm remembering correctly, so I think we'll get a nice little steady stream between like announcements at Pokemon Worlds and announcements through Korokoro and just random ass announcements that Pokemon likes to do.
Yeah. And I definitely hope we get more Pokemon this time around.
I'm really interested to see if we're going to get more Megas or if they're going to scrap that in favor of this possible new evolution concept or if that's even going to be a real thing.
I hope if we do have a new concept that we get a couple new Megas. Or even like in a down the road game, because I don't think they'll abandon the concept entirely. They could put more focus on the new concept, I don't know, but I just hope regardless of whatever happens with Megas or a potential new thing is that it doesn't impact the amount of new Pokemon we get, because it's just, it would be nicer to have a bigger roster of Pokemon.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's, in general, it's just more exciting to have more Pokemon to look at, and I've seen people make the point that even though it was a smaller roster, the Kalos roster in terms of like use and design was good, and like it benefited from like having less quote unquote filler Pokemon. But like I missed having more Pokemon, and also there was a lot of good and good looking Pokemon in Kalos, but so many of their types overlapped, which was kind of annoying. So like there was a bunch of Pokemon I would think, oh, I want to use you, you, and you, and then there was like all these overlaps.
Right.
And so like as good as it was, it's like especially whenever I first go through a new generation, I have like a self-placed rule to only use Pokemon from that generation, because I mean Kalos was rich with Pokemon from like everywhere, but when you want to experiment with the new Pokemon, so it's kind of a catch 32.
There was talk about the region being based around like Singapore, based around Hawaii, and it's definitely Hawaii, right down to the fact that it's called the Alola region.
Yeah, that makes 100% sense, and I think it looks really cool so far.
It does. Like we've only seen like one art picture of it, and it looks really small, but like with it being based around Hawaii, I think we're gonna have a very like Sevii Islands-esque thing on our hands, except
large
scale. That
would be really cool. And like I love the tropical settings and stuff, like we had like with Hoenn, that sort of like, you know, I mean, like, the joke's been made by me and numerous others, but IGN's probably going to tear it apart for having too much water, but...
Yeah.
But, like,
7.2 out of 10, too much water.
Yeah, like, so that's going to be a thing. But I think it looks really... Oh, excuse me, it looks really cool so far, and, like, your character seems notably taller, too.
They all do. Like, the models in general here are a lot more, like, human-proportioned instead of, like, this... weird kind of squished style.
It's almost XY like a hybrid. It's like a hybrid between what this is and like the old style.
Yeah,
like they weren't quite committing to it yet, and now it's kind of like, obviously the characters look kind of different, but I mean kind of like Colosseum, where they look like normal humans except they had giant feet. Maybe Mirabee's gonna be in this game.
Oh, that'd be awesome. His fucking theme is the greatest fucking song.
It is, right?
And what else did I like? There was something else that I liked about this. Oh, character customization's back in some extent.
Thank God.
Because you can pick, like, your look at the beginning of the game, which is pretty neat. So there's, like, there's four male bases and four female bases. And I've heard, I didn't really notice it myself when I was watching it, but I heard that there's some scenes where, like, the protagonist is wearing... Protagonist? Yeah. That they're wearing, slightly different colored clothes. Which leads people to believe that there's, like, full-on character customization again. But at the very least, you're gonna be able to change your skin tone and your hair color and stuff, so...
Yeah.
Which is really cool. I'm hoping that this is, like, Game Freak's redemption arc... Because, not that, like, XY and ORS were bad, but there was a lot of boredom around them.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is their chance to, like, listen to what everyone was saying in terms of what they want in a Pokemon game. and to try to make the best game that they can for for the fans without like ruining it for like the new players or casual players too, because you can make an even balance like for no problem. You just need to kind of tailor it in certain ways. Like I think it was Black and White that had this thing called like expert mode or hard mode or something, but you didn't get it until after you beat the game. Like put that in from the start for the people that want a bigger challenge, and then you could have like an easy mode for more casual players or like a normal mode. And like that's all you really have to do to like get those like really competitive or players that really want a challenge. Like, all you have to do is make, like, an expert mode that ups the levels and makes the AI a little bit smarter, maybe. So...
yeah, that would be a nice system.
It's a really easy thing for them to do that I hope they kind of do. I don't know if I would do an expert mode, like, the first time I run through a game, but it would be nice to have that option at the very least.
Well, and like I kind of mentioned before, is that I really want to balance, like, for my personal play style, is that I like the all experience because I like being able to have more than six people rotating, and I like being able to experiment more freely without feeling like I'm dragging myself through the game. Not dragging, but like taking too long. Mm-hmm. And but like it was too easy. Like I had a lot of fun when I first played through X, but it was too easy, and it happened very quickly after the gap between badges. And like there's just all sorts of little tweaks. Like I want better paces between the gyms. And I want that balance, like, so that I can experiment more, but not be, you know, make it so easy. I just want to be challenged and a little bit more. I never thought I would say that, because usually I like the easy way out for everything. Take the easy way out. I always do. It's so easy. But I think...
I want a battle frontier, please.
Yeah, like, I want some sort of... I don't. Who knows what our third versions... That's not even a guarantee anymore, but... If they decide to do third versions for anything, you know, for this or Generation 8 or whatever, like, do give us something for the post-game in the main game, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be nice. I was trying to think about this in the video, but wasn't there something about the way Black and White's experience worked that did make it almost like what I'm talking about? Like, maybe it leveled up faster or something? I just remember, like, it being easier for me to experiment. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
I don't remember. Like I said, I know they had that easy mode and hard mode thing in Black and White, but I don't think that was until after you beat the game.
Yeah, but, like, I'm just talking about in the main game. Like, it was not quite what I'm talking about, but, like, I just remember, especially early on, I was able to, you know... rotate out a couple Pokemon that I didn't like, and also have like seven people that were in rotation fairly easily.
Are you sure
you're
not thinking of X and Y?
No, this was Black. That's why I was trying to reiterate in the video, because it was before there was experience, but it wasn't quite the balance I'm talking about, but it was a little bit easier.
I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, because it's been a while since I've played them. I'm going to get to it eventually, so maybe I'll know then, but it just seemed like that I had... It wasn't, like, as easy as X and Y, but I was able to experiment a little bit. But I don't know. But that's definitely what I'm hoping for. Like, I'm still excited for it, and, like, in general, the new games are more exciting than, you know... I mean, I do look forward to, like, the remasters or whatever, the updates, but, like, I had a hard time... motivated myself through ORAS, even though I was excited I was leading up to it, but, like, I, you know, played through X at a normal speed. And, like, I hate to be the person that brings it up as early out, but eventually, I would kind of love to see a Diamond and Pearl in this engine, because the fourth generation is my least favorite, but it's not, like, where I hate it or anything. It's just, like, I feel like if they do a good balance in this system, and, like, being able to see Sinnoh in 3D, and I feel like it could really make me like everything about Sinnoh that much more. Because there is a lot of things I like about Sinnoh, but I feel like of anything, like for 2 and 3, I wanted to see the remakes because I loved the region so much. But for 4, it's like, I feel like there's a potential for me to really like that region more than I did by seeing it. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I understand you. I'm kind of in the same boat. I liked Generation 4 a lot, but it's kind of a personal bias because that's kind of about the time where I started getting really into kind of like everything Pokemon, like including competitive video game.
Not it's that funny I... that you mentioned the competitive thing, because I've heard a lot of people say that.
Yeah, because that was when, like, official tournaments started popping up, and, like, that's when you could do online battles. So Gen 4 is kind of when the competitive scene kind of started, because there was a way to actually battle people that you may or may not have known. So that's kind of when it popped up, and I mostly just battled with my friends and stuff at the time, and I didn't have, like, EV-trained shit and stuff. I didn't do that until it was really easy in X and Y. But So Gen 4 kind of means a lot to me, because I put a ton of playtime in Platinum. Like, my Platinum still has the most hours clocked compared to any other Pokemon game I have. So it's... not my favorite set of games. Heart Gold, Soul Silver is still my favorite, but it would be really cool to see Sinnoh in the XY or SSM engine style.
It's just weird for me because I like a lot of the designs in Sinnoh, and I like a lot of the concepts and like some of the towns and stuff. But it's like there's something about it that, no matter how many times I play it or, like, watch someone play it, it's, like, forgettable and not, like, intentional. Like, I'm saying it's boring. It's just I can't recall stuff. Like,
Sinnoh's
you know what
plot
I mean?
Was super weak. Like, yeah, Sinnoh's plot sucked hardcore.
Yeah. And it's, like, even just, like, right now, Chugga's recent LP is Platinum, and I've been following it, and it's, like, I really enjoyed it. It's probably one of my favorite LPs he's done of Pokemon. But it's, like, even trying to recall anything, like, it's almost like I can't retain it. And I don't know why, and it's, like... because I know there's a lot of people that say 4th Generation is their least favorite, and they, like, hate it. And it's not like that, because I think every generation has its good and bad, and I like all of them for whatever reason or another. But there's just something about Sinnoh that's why I think that an update would be really cool, because it could really make that one shine and add stuff to it. But, like, that's far off, but I always think about that. And, like, in general, after we see X and Y, like, I'm curious to see all of the regions in 3D just because it's so different.
Yeah.
Like, even compared to, like, the facelift of, you know, Gen 2 to, like, HeartGold and SoulSilver, which is substantially noticeable, but, like, 3D's on, like, a whole other level. Just kind of awesome.
I'm up for just another Johto remake, to be honest.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad in 3D, and if we do another Kanto one in 3D, please make something about it more interesting, because it's doing this playthrough, like, I'm on Johto now, but it's like night and day how much more interesting Johto was, even just on its own.
Yeah.
For me, like, what else was there, anything, I guess, someone just haven't really mentioned is, I really like the legendaries, too.
They look really cool. Like,
yeah,
the,
both
Lunala, both. If that's actually its name, is totally just Gekibat. Like, it's a female version of Gekibat.
And, like, there's been, like, multiple different jokes about what the lion reminds me of, or people have, but it reminds me a lot of a Leomon evolution. I think that means it's gonna die. But I think they both, it's kind of like X and Y, just, like, I both immediately like both of them. I think they really... I both me like both of them. That was a weird sense. I immediately like both of them. I think they both look really cool. I'm still using both a lot. Damn it. But yeah, it's still weird they don't have names. But I'm super excited. Want more of it? Release for Next Slash.
There's so much to be excited about, and I'm so happy, and I love it.
It's just like a little...
this is my thing right now. This is my element, and. Like, I couldn't be happier.
Well, it's like, even when I'm not in a Pokemon mood, there's just something about Pokemon news that, like, nothing else still gets me excited like I'm a kid.
Yeah.
Which I kind of love. But, yeah. I think that's about it for Pokemans. For now. Hopefully a nice thing. Sorry, go ahead.
You can,
go ahead.
I think this will be up. Yeah, this will be up while it's still active. You can download Shiny Xerneas.
Oh yeah, I just did that. He's really cool looking. I just did that before I started playing some Heart Gold. I'm not playing. I'm professional. I'm very professional.
I can hear it. You can't hide it.
Damn it! I thought it was quiet enough.
No, I let it go because the sounds of Pokemon soothe me.
And it's like very fitting for the conversation. It's not going to be as fitting as we move on, but. But yeah, I think, I mean, it's not going to create huge, like, filler for the drought of conversation of shows during the summer, but at least, like, that'll be little bits of stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Is when we get little tidbits about the game and more Pokemon reveals. Revealed! Okay, speaking of revealed, I guess, moving on, I don't know why it's speaking of revealed, but The Flash.
Real quick, can we do Legends first?
Sure.
Just because that's technically sort of the order we should have always went in.
I didn't even think about that. But yeah, that's fine. Okay, so yeah, Legends revealed, that's a better segue. The Time Masters are a bunch of jackasses that have worked with Savage all along.
Like, I didn't even think about that, except for the fact that one guy I follow on Twitter said that was his theory, like, the day of. And it turns out he was right.
Yeah, I didn't think about it either.
They're a bunch of Jack's asses. Yep. Jack's ass. So it's just his ass.
Jack's old ass who got sent off by Gray. But I didn't think about it until, like, they were there. And, like, I felt that off feeling. And that was it. Like, I never... It's kind of like the Kronos thing. It's like something maybe I should have noticed but didn't. But yeah, I didn't call it at all, and it definitely makes the endgame more interesting, because I remember last week we were talking about how I was saying, well, they should just get Savage over with and then do the Time Masters as the final big bads, and now it's both. So, that's kind of a neat twist, and it definitely makes them even more of underdogs than they already were. Jax is going to come back and save him with his walker. Yeah. Because, like, everybody's done kidnapped right now. I'm trying to remember, because it's always been so long, because obviously I remember that twist, and I remember Jax getting sent off because he got sick. There was, like, a lot of drama about them accusing Rip of caring more about his family than the team, which, I mean, I guess he would. It just makes sense. But I remember that, and he did take a bullet for Kendra. Oh, and, like, oh man. Okay, so the Kendra stuff. She's like, oh, Ray, it's fine. I choose you. And this week she's like, never mind. I choose Carter. He my Pikachu. That's basically how it went.
Like, I hate everything going on with Kendra. Rip made a stupid mistake in this episode.
Getting in the cage
Ray,
with Savage.
Ray did a really stupid mistake in this episode.
I thought it
Stein
was...
Stein might have made a stupid mistake in this episode by sending Jax away. I don't know.
I think a stupid mistake for him because he could die, just like Jax pointed out, but, like, it was a nice thing to do. It was probably the smartest decision of the decisions that were being made, which is saying something since it could cost him his life. But, like, the Ray thing was so stupid because... Like, you knew it was stupid because he clearly knew that Savage was trying to bait him the first time, and then to go back again, and he's baiting him the second time, and the fact that he went in, like, for some reason I thought it was going to be part of some sort of plan, but nope, that was S.H.I.E.L.D. that did that this week, where you thought the guy was stupid, but he wasn't. So, yeah, that was really dumb. Like, it was basically just a plot reason to get Savage out of there. And, like, on the loose for those few minutes. And I forgot that Savage is kind of strong, because he's, like, sitting there shooting at him with a pistol. I'm like, why are they having so much trouble fighting him? They have so many powers. And he's, like, sitting there just shooting this little pistol. I'm like, what is happening? Next week isn't the final episode, right? There's two more.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Carter came back to his senses only to get stabbed immediately.
Yeah, like, it was such a dumb way to... suddenly come back to it too, and like super cliche. Kendra, boom, stabbed. That would have been hilarious if he died. Like, that sounds really funny to say. Like,
it would. I clapped a little.
Yeah, like, I was disappointed when she's like, he has a heartbeat or whatever. I'm like, fuck! I Again, that sounds so bad. I just really don't like him. But that just would have been funny. It's like maybe they just cannot keep the douche actor around or something. I mean, I guess I don't know if the actor's really a douche, but I just really don't like Carter. I totally forgot about the whole stabbing thing.
So Carter got stabbed. Jax has space cancer. time cancer, rather. And, like, okay, Rip. Rip, you're fucking bringing him in. He's like, so how did you escape that one time? Because that's what fucking Vandal Savage sounds like, exactly.
That's a wrong point.
Because it was like, oh, I escaped because of this and this and this. He's like, oh, brilliant, haha. And now that fucker's going to go back in time and make sure that Rip never gets out.
Oh, God. But he showed him the pen, though, remember?
Yeah.
So, I think that meant that he knew all along and he was just dicking with him?
Maybe.
But, because that would majorly fuck with things if Rory never escaped. Man. I didn't think about that, but he showed him the pens. I thought the point was what I just said of trying to taunt him, but it just seemed like a weird thing to taunt him over. Like, oh, I knew how you escaped all along. Like, okay. Yeah,
he probably just wanted to make sure he didn't escape this.
Yeah, like, you don't have another naked lady pen, do you? Because these Time Masters, they haven't seen anything in quite some time. Apparently they're celibate in my head can. So, I don't know.
Ooh, naked lady pen. They're all distracted and they just walk out.
Like, no matter what age. Or, yeah, like, age of time, I mean, not person. You know, they're just easily distracted by the naked lady pen.
Sounds right.
But, yeah, it's definitely a twist I liked that I probably should have seen coming, and I think it's going to make the last two episodes pretty awesome.
I'm more interested in the fallout. Like, what happens when the Time Masters are no more? Who protects time?
That will probably have to do something to do with Season 2 setup, I'm going to assume, because I'm hoping we get, even if it's not like a direct, like concrete answer for what Season 2 might be, like I hope we get some sort of hint at it, just because I'm pretty curious, since they said the concept will be different. But based on what's going on right now, I'm going to kind of assume that might be at least an element of what's the next mission is, or like what the setup for Season 2 is. Like maybe Rip takes it upon himself to take the team around to protect time, or maybe like it's like a shield situation and the Time Masters have to rebuild themselves because half of the Time Masters was Hydra all along. Like, I don't know. But it'll be interesting. Yeah. That's all. Yeah. That's all I got. That's all,
yeah.
I got.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, you can. They'll catch it. That's not till later. But, okay. Flash now, for real. Right?
Yeah.
The Flash. Okay. So this week's episode was good. I did have to ask George about it because I was confused and I thought they didn't do the source wall, but apparently it basically is, but it's just super dumbed down. Because the Speed
Which
Force...
makes sense.
The Speed Force does, like, is like a form of communication the source wall does. Like, I think what did it is that I was slightly let down because of how cool the source wall stuff sounded to me. Even though we kind of assumed it would be dumbed down, I was hoping it would be a little bit less dumbed down, if that makes any sense.
No, I get you.
Yeah, like, just the concept sounded so cool, and it would have been nice to expand more upon it. And I'm hoping that the fact that we introduced, like, the way the Speed Force was communicating with him and him going to that place that we'll use it down the road is potentially something more along the lines of that source wall, alternate dimension stuff. I think that would be super cool. But still...
I'm wondering if, like, the fact that he feels like the Speed Force is now on his side... And all that, on whether that's going to be the ticket to defeating Zoom, whether he's going to get trapped in the Speed Force.
Are you magic now?
You like magic now?
I get a feeling like his experience with that and that sort of newfound ability or confidence or understanding will definitely come into play. But I'm not sure. I mean, they could, you know... He could somehow take his powers away, too, because the Speed Force talked to him about how they sort of decide who you know, gets powers and whatnot, or keeps it or whatever. I mean, I don't think the Speed Force will take it away, but I think it could play a part in that. So
I want
to
see.
I think it'll be interesting to see
if or when Jessie gets her powers, because there's got to be something going on there.
Oh yeah, like when she was in the coma, I honestly thought they were gonna keep her in it until maybe like the season finale, and then have her wake up with it, or like make it a cliffhanger or something. But like Barry just like, wait, hold on, let me just rub my socks on this carpet. Boom, you're woken up. Shocked her. Wally too. I love Joe trying to test his powers. Like, gotta do this the old-fashioned way. Drops mug.
I gave you that mug.
That was really funny. I liked that. Like, or the whole, like, if you want to talk about the changes in your body.
I like Iris's expression through that entire conversation.
Like, she's just like,
she just
oh
had
my
this,
god,
this, oh god, this is happening.
That was good.
Speaking of Iris in general was pretty good in this episode.
Just Iris and Joe?
In general, but Joe was good too. Both fake Joe and real Joe.
I still don't like Iris and Barry together, mainly because I'm Team Peace Bibs. and I felt like... I feel like he didn't need her to, like, coax him out of the Speed Force thingy, or the Source Ball.
He had to be drugged.
Because the Source made it seem like once he got his speed back, when he caught Shadow him, that he could just speed out of there on his own. So I thought it would have been kind of funny if she's like, I can call him back, and then he just came back on his own. Because that's what it made it seem like. But I don't know, I kind of preferred him with Peace Bibs. I feel like she's just wanting to be with him because of all the other timelines and futures she's seen and whatnot. Just out of sheer curiosity.
She doesn't want to try anymore.
Yeah, she's like, oh, well, whatever. Eddie was on Castle this week. That's a random just fact. I thought it was funny that they brought the guy back that was Liv's boyfriend that was a zombie on iZombie as a zombie.
I know. It was so good.
It was like Zombieception. What was his name?
I was like, of all the metahumans to bring back, they bring back the guy who was a zombie as a zombie. Brilliant.
What was his name in iZombie?
Drake.
It was, yeah, there we go. Okay. Like, so that was just kind of neat. I mean, that was probably the weakest element of the episode in general, because they just sort of needed some sort of conflict.
Yeah.
To have Barry solve and to, like, sort of make things a little bit more tense. But it was just funny for, like, the sort of meta-ness of all of it, like, because he's, like, one of the CW people that they're starting to use and whatnot, so that was kind of funny. Let's see. Like, I enjoyed the stuff with Barry inside the Not Source Wall, but, and, like, I think what I'm gonna like most about it is, like, this is gonna sound super awful, but I think it's good to have a potential final acceptance of his mother's death, because I feel like he dwells on it too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And, like, it's, obviously, I've never experienced something. The closest I've experienced something like that is losing my grandmother at that age. But it's like he acts like it was like last year. You know what I mean? And it's so long ago for him, and he had like a family. So I get that it was a big deal, but I think it was a good storyline to put it to bed. Like, I'm sure it's still going to be brought up, and it's obviously going to inform him because it helped, you know, shape who he is. But I think this was hopefully the good potential final of it being such a thing that weighs on him so heavily, and that he brings up and gets so emotional about, you know? And, like, obviously it reignited things when, you know, he had to make the decision to let it happen and not change it. But I think it's a good time to sort of put it to bed. And, like, go see her grave finally. Like, come on, man. It was funny because, like, before I got to see it, because it airs earlier, like, one of my news sites I follow did, like, a recap, and they showed a picture of Barry at the grave. I'm like, oh, shit, are they pulling an arrow? But then I realized when I saw the episode, because it was just a picture of him, like, over a grave, and, like, you didn't see the stone, and it kind of reminded me of, the Oliver pictures. His dad decided he's going to stay around, which means I think he's going to die before the finale, because I don't think he's going to be a series regular next season. And I kind of want him to die.
I feel like he's going to, just because they're emphasizing that so much. It's like, oh, yeah. I'm here to stay.
And, like, Bear's like, I just got over Mom's death. And then the dad dies. Fuck! Now he's got to go back into the Source Vault next season to get over that death. That's going to be a whole thing. But I mentioned this multiple weeks, but I just don't like his dad. Because he's like, I know he was in jail, but he comes in like he's been there the whole time. And what pissed me off, something he said to Joe, was that, look, you have Wally and Iris. Like, as if Barry doesn't mean as much to him. That kind of pissed me off. Stupid Barry's dad. That big dad.
He's a pretty shitty dad. I forgot who it was that tweeted it, but someone said that the Speed Force version was a better dad than Barry's dad.
He was! I just don't like him. Like, I'll be glad. I sound like, there's so many things I'm saying in this, like, discussion about it that sound bad, but I'll be glad if he gets killed off, because I don't want to see him anymore. I don't want to see a stupid thing. Oh, God. I really hope not.
I wouldn't mind it. I don't mind him. I'm not against him.
I just don't like the fan service-y thing of, like, oh, because he was the Flash before. I wouldn't mind if they somehow made it related to him, like with that whole maiden name or whatever, like if it was somehow descended of it, but just not making it him, because it's not even about my dislike of Barry's dad as the character, it's just about I don't like the fan service-y aspect of it. Like, I liked the, I think I mentioned before, like, I liked the twist of Jay Garrick being Zoom in this world, you know what I mean? And I don't think it's disrespecting or tarnishing the character of Jay Garrick at all to have it like that.
I don't think, like, so either.
Like, they just made it
clear that they're not.
Like if anything, I think I would like to see, which I don't think they're going to do now, which they're not, but I would rather it be like, we could just meet actual Jay Garrick from a different Earth and it's just Teddy Sears, because I liked him as Jay Garrick. You know, but make this Jay Garrick.
Unless his show gets canned, we're not going to see Teddy Sears for a while.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, I don't think that after this season whoever they reveal Jay Garrick to be, I don't think he's going to be a main fixture or reoccurring or anything like that. So
probably not, because they've said several times that the show is called The Flash and it's going to stay that way.
Yeah.
So, like, even if we get, like, his dad, or rather Ship, since it wouldn't be Barry's dad anymore, Jay Garrick, like, I don't think he's, like, sticking around. Mostly because someone's gotta protect Earth 2. So, yeah. He would just stay there. Or whatever Earth he's from.
Because even before we knew that Jay was Zoom, I always assumed the ship was a model as big as this. No, but I always assumed that, Jay Garrick wouldn't stick around. Like, there'd be some sort of reason. Maybe he died. Maybe he, like you said, protects Earth 2. Whatever. I always just assumed that he would maybe appear again later, like, once or twice, but I didn't think he was going to stick around. So, that's not really a thing. But, yeah, we're in the home stretch here, which is going to be an awesome string of episodes, but it's also sad because we're not going to have any more Flash until, like, the fall, and, like, the Arrow and Flash shows usually don't come out back till October, so it's like even longer wait when everything else is coming back in September.
I know.
Sad times.
Life is sad. Sad times indeed.
The world is a nightmare. Speaking of the world is a nightmare, Arrow, that's kind of what's going on right now. Felicity done killed some people.
Some people?
Just tens of thousands, it's fine. That's fine. What Lila said. She's like, it's fine, it's not even millions, don't even worry about it. Like, but you have to sign the accords now. So that's a thing. You know, it's all about accountability. It's not about butthole pleasures. That was random. But I thought this was another good episode this week.
They've been nailing it.
Like, the stakes, like, I mentioned last week, but I really drove it home this week. Like, never been this high on Arrow. Like, it's never been, like, on a world-ending scale, really.
They blew up an entire city, so, yeah, the stakes are pretty high.
like, and it's not even about Starling City, and, like, we actually got to see it. Like, I honestly thought they were going to stop it completely, but there was consequences, and I think that just, like, with the material Diggle got with this, with the guilt over Laurel and then killing his brother, like, it's going to bring some good material for Felicity, and I really liked Felicity a lot in this episode.
Because she was back to her prime, doing yeah, like what she does, and not dealing yeah. with, like, emotional relationship garbage. She yeah, was back to being, like, the awesome joking hacker chick.
Yeah, and badass, too. And yeah. So, like,
and that's when really the character shines. That's where the character does yeah. good.
They need to keep her like that.
Yes.
And I do like that they were able to, via Laurel's death, but, you know, Oliver and Felicity were able to table all of that, basically, and there's no weird drama, like, win the first episode after they broke up, you know what I mean? Like, so that's yeah. all down to business. But, yeah, I really liked her in this episode, and I think that was... I mean, she did a really good job with the acting when she, you know, made that decision to target the smaller town. But, yeah, I just liked a lot about it, and I like that the stakes are so high, and it really gives you a feeling of imminent danger. Not only just, like, the nukes and the whole idea, but then now that Damian Dark's more powered up and they were already having a hard time. I really like what's going on right now. I wish that it had gotten this good earlier.
Yeah, I know. I felt the same way. Like, between how the season started and how the season's ending, it's kind of pulling a Sentai and being yeah. kind of shit in the middle.
Yeah. Like, I hope that it's a good sign that, you know, season 5 could hopefully be better. Like, I think they just need to bring the good stuff up sooner, you know, and just balance it out better. No relationship drama, please.
Like, especially after all the shit that they were doing, like, at the start of the season, where we're like, oh, this is going to be a more lighthearted show with more comic stuff and...
Yeah, and like
then they do all this drama. And like do more relationship drama and then kill a big comic character.
Yeah. So
regarding that with like with Black Siren on Flash, there's been no confirmation one way or another whether she's ever gonna move to Arrow or if she's even gonna stay alive after the Flash episode or if she's gonna go back to Earth 2 or what, but it brings up an interesting possibility on if she were to go over to Arrow or to even meet Earth 1 Oliver, because you're stuck in a situation where Earth 2 Laurel lost Oliver because he's dead on Earth 2.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, and then Earth 1 Oliver lost Laurel. So...
yeah.
You've got this really thing where, like, they could meet and both of them had lost each other in their respective Earths, and it could create some interesting, like, character stories with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Plus, she'd be a metahuman and actually have legitimate Black Canary powers, so...
Yeah. I swear to God, I read something about that Oliver gets to meet her, and I don't know where, because I talked to George about this, and I asked him if he heard it, too, because I... swear that Oliver was going to be in next week's Flash. Like, not as, like, a huge thing, but, like, kind of like, you know, last season's, like, hey, I'm going to help you beat Reverse Flash. Because, like, in my head, it makes sense that, like, they would see Laurel and then maybe call Oliver over to, like... because, you know, she did know Oliver on that Earth to, like, sort of help reason with her.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I feel like they would have said something, you know what I mean? Unless it's, like, a surprise, and I don't know. Maybe I just dreamt the whole thing. But
the only thing I remember reading is, like, they were saying, like, they now have that possibility of a world where Earth 2 Laurel could meet Earth 1 Ollie or something. That's the only thing I remember reading.
Maybe that was it. I guess they are kind of busy. They just don't have time to head over to Central City right now. But I definitely hope they don't kill her off. Like, I think that would be a mistake, especially since they just killed the other one off. To, like you said, the potential for that, for crossover with Oliver could be really neat. So I hope they don't kill her off. And plus, they've killed off everyone else from Earth 2. Like, I was hoping they were going to leave Caitlin alive. But, yeah, I think that'll be interesting. It'll be cool. I totally forgot to talk about that when we were talking about Flash, but I'm looking forward to seeing that next week. But yeah, what else in this episode happened? Thea talked to Malcolm, who's got like his prosthetic is like way lamer than Coulson's. It looks like
it's just a glove over his actual hand.
It looks like a winter glove. Like, and there's like no reason why that technology is so advanced. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like obviously, like this is a crazy ass world, but like it just makes more sense on S.H.I.E.L.D. You know. And, like, it's just, like, it seems like they just got tired of him wearing the sling, or... All they have to do is, like, give him a stump or something. I still don't know why he was wearing the sling. It made no sense for that type of injury. But, yeah, that was kind of funny. It's just, like, I'm so tired of Malcolm. Like, I love John Barrowman, but I'm so tired of Malcolm because his bit is just the same week after week of, oh, I gotta protect Thea, but I'm just a major asshole about it. Like, I'm pretty tired of that. There was something... Oh, I guess it was Hero. There was, like, a storyline in Heroes Reborn about them, like, relocating people to the city before they blew it up. That's what I was trying to think that this whole concept reminded me of.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like next week Thea might get brainwashed and be kicking Oliver around.
Yeah, because we need to do that again.
Yeah. At least she's not going to be angry about it? Or as angry about it? I don't know. But I'm glad that there's an interesting endgame going on and that I'm not... I don't want to say I was really ever, like, truly completely bored, but I was a little bit more bored compared to the stuff going on in the other shows. And, like, you know, it was so inconsistent. So I like that these last few weeks have made me more invested in what's going on. Except for the flashbacks.
Yeah.
My question was answered this week, but I totally meant to say something last week when... He was doing that, like, vision quest or whatever. Not vision quest, but, like, when he was having those memories when he was doing that training for the magic, that he saw that glimpse of Nadia's sister. like, her eyes glowing yellow, and I'm like, did I miss that? But that happened this week.
For whatever reason.
I guess they just wanted to hint at it, so, yeah.
She magic, too.
We'll see. I bet she dead, unless she shows up in the future. We haven't already seen Katana again, have we?
We haven't seen Katana since, whatever part it was. Was it season 3? I don't remember. The last time I remember seeing her was when Nyssa went to her to get the whatever.
Oh,
no, it was
season
4, because she got the stuff to cure Thea's bloodlust or whatever that was.
Was she wearing her costume?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious, because I guess that may have answered it, because I rewatched the little like teaser trailer for the rest of season 4 earlier this week, and I remember seeing Katana in it, and I couldn't remember seeing her, and I was thinking, like, oh, they're probably bringing her in to kill her off. But you're right, we did see her, but I remember they didn't kill her off. Because
they did that fight, and I thought she was going to die, but she didn't.
Yeah, so I guess they did, and I forgot about it. But I definitely hope that they don't bring her back in the next two episodes just to kill her off. But I don't think that's a
like,
thing. I think
you could. You don't have to kill her off. You can just let her die like naturally by not mentioning her ever again.
Exactly. Or just like sporadically mentioning her or bringing her back or something. Just... Stupid, only I can use blue. But
you could still say Tatsu, probably. I think they can get away with that.
I mean, they've been able to say Amanda Waller's name a couple times.
Yeah, so. Yeah, there you go.
I like, though, that at least for the moment, they haven't gotten rid of Argus completely.
Yeah.
And I like that Lila's running it, and like as shitty as killing off Amanda Waller for those dumbass only I can use blue reasons, it was a character thing that made sense, and I hope they don't get rid of Argus, because it just would seem awkward.
They'll just rename it, like, Fargus.
Oh, God. Fargus. I was just going to say, I just thought of something.
Orgus.
Like, the Fergus and Argus thing threw me off.
My bad.
No, that's fine. Shit. Just give me a second. Just talk about random nonsense or some other plot point I'm trying to think. You're not helping. So quick on your feet, Brian.
I am the genius.
Oh, I got it. I got okay, it. Good. I was just thinking about how they're going to have to either show her or somebody that worked for her, Amanda Waller, in the flashbacks, because it's very easy to forget, but Argus sent Oliver there to investigate what that group was up to on the island.
Yeah.
and like, that was mentioned, like, the very beginning, and then he, like, sent them an email, like, twice, and then it never brought up again. Except for, like, this episode where he talked to get him off the island, or at least to help. So, I get a feeling Amanda Waller might show up in the flashback. It would just seem weird if she didn't, but, like if they're trying to get rid of Argus, they definitely have to go through the stuff on the season 4 flashbacks first before they completely do it, because it would seem awkward. Obviously, Oliver's going to decide to stay on the island because he's got to grow his beard.
He's got to go to Russia.
And he's got to grow... Oh, yeah, shit. But he still has to grow his beard, too. You know what?
I think they're going to calmly forget about that.
The beard thing?
Yeah.
Maybe when Barry rewrote the timeline one time, he was rescued clean-shaven. Like, I'm trying to think... A year's probably long enough time to grow that beard and hair, I guess? But the beard, yes. I don't know about the hair. I don't know, just because it seemed like the way that his hair was growing before, it was like it was cool to see the progression of the way he was found, but then they buzzed it all off. The fake hair. They fake buzzed it. But I forgot about the Russia thing, because that was something that was brought up when I read an interview about the flashbacks. I think that they should have done that this year. And even if it wasn't like a full-on Russia season, but maybe since he was already left the island for last season, have season 4 have him going to a couple different locations. And then, because it makes sense to me in my head, for character-wise, for him to spend that last year on the island sort of in the most solitude, you know? Like, you know, he'd done so much messed up stuff in the last 4 years, he just... wanted to live on the island and, you know, became that crazy Tom Hanks thing. Wilson! You know how it is. Ferguson! I haven't seen him in weeks. But, I don't know. I don't know. Okay. So, S.H.I.E.L.D. is Rex, right?
Yes. Yeah.
S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. was good this week because they totally fooled me, because I 100% believe that Lincoln would be that stupid.
Me too. I was like, this guy is a poop.
Exactly.
And like, that's like, been my thought on Lincoln like the entire fucking show, is like, this guy is a poop.
And I liked him so much more last season.
He's not a poop.
Like, this season he's been so annoying, and like, with how... like, he just, in general, behaves around the other agents in terms of sort of being semi-defiant and questioning. It, like, made total sense to me that he would want to go with Daisy. And so it was, like, so rewarding that it was a trick to get Lash on the plane. And, like, that was a cool plan. And obviously it would have cut the season short if they would have done it, but it admittedly would have been cool to see Lash finish him off. But then we would have been cut short. I'm like, hey, what do we do for these last two episodes?
Yeah.
But at least he got to save Daisy before him and his terrible hair was killed. R.I.P. Lash's wig.
Like, I never thought I would feel bad for him.
Yeah, like, me neither.
Like, he was... Because he was more Andrew than Lash at that moment.
Yeah.
And, like, he felt human again. And it was a nice way to end the character... Because they're like, oh, he was made in human to kill Hive. No, he was made in human to save Daisy.
Yeah. Although, like, I did like the idea that, like, he was a failsafe for Hive, because it kind of made sense.
Mm-hmm.
He made all those creepy-ass mutants that look like X-Men Origins Wolverine Deadpool.
All the ones with the horrible masks. With, like, these little tiny mouth holes so that the stunt actors can breathe.
Yeah. Like, it looks really good, but I can't breathe. Yeah, but it looks good. Like, can we please just get some holes in here? But that was kind of disturbing. And, like, I lost my train of thought. I can't really lose my train of thought. It was disturbing. And, They didn't kill that doctor guy yet, right? No. He's just, like, constantly in fear of it.
Yeah.
Well, because he wants them to make more of them.
He's going to get rescued at some point.
Yeah, hopefully. And, shit, I keep... There was the
doctor, I want more of these things. I can run another test.
Like, I can make them way less.
They could come up and, I need more of these hideous mask monsters. Sure, right away, sir.
I can perfect this. They can have different powers. He's like, no, the power of strength and grunting and ugliness is all fine. Classic alien ward. And I don't know why the Talbot didn't just bring the Avengers with him. I mean, it makes no sense why he would bring them to this facility that might have three people as inhumans that nobody else knows about because S.H.I.E.L.D.'s underground.
Talk to a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
An asshole.
Like a while back, back when Civil War was announced, I honestly thought it was going to have more of an impact than it did, but, like, the impact it is having makes sense.
Yeah, like, the impact that it's having, like, makes sense for what everything that happened, but they were hyping it up to be some big thing.
Yeah,
like really, I thought it was like, be... a news report at the beginning of the episode, and then just them constantly referencing the Accords. That was it.
And Talbot coming in to register, and, like, it's unfortunate, that we probably won't get to explore quite as much of a potential aspect of that, which is something the movie didn't get to do because that really wasn't the focus, but like the sort of almost like racist aspect of like registering inhumans, or like in the case of the comics, registering mutants and inhumans and stuff. But like, I think it would be neat to maybe bleed that into the beginning of season four. Yeah. Like, since we're going to kind of focus on Hive, obviously, in this finale here, but like that stuff, even though it wasn't as big of an impact, I think can have a neat little neat racism, but like a neat, you know, storyline potential, because they were doing some stuff earlier on with the sort of inhumans, like way people perceive them, and shit, what was the name of that group that was attacking them, the ones that got mutated, the Watchdogs?
Yeah, it was the Watchdogs who were making Watchdogs, like, the game references the first time they were on. So, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, like, with that type of stuff, like, I thought that whatever, back then, before we knew, like, what Hive was going to do, I thought maybe the tie-in would have to do some more with that stuff. But no. But I think they'll make neat stuff later. I honestly didn't expect Daisy to get broken free so early.
I wasn't either. I'm not mad.
No. I think it's nice to subvert expectations like that. Like, I thought it would have been some point during the finale. Like, personally, I thought it would even be really close to the end of the finale. But I like when they change things up like that. And it looks like there's going to be some really good stuff with her next week. I mean, she's going to have to talk to Mac about, sorry, I, like, broke your ribs with my powers.
And then they're teasing that Mackie Poo is the one that's gonna die, and I'm distressed.
No. They cannot do it. I feel like it's gonna be Lincoln just because he seems the most expendable.
Cause like Slingshot gave him the necklace, and I texted George. I said, pass it off.
That thing's a bad omen. I feel like though. With the way the show is, it's too on the nose for it to be Mac. Unless that's what they want you to think. This is a nightmare. But I definitely hope that doesn't happen. Oh, and Colton's totally Team Cap.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry. That totally stuck up on me. Okay. But that could be a good segue if you want to talk about Captain America a little bit since we saw it.
Hell yeah.
Worst movie I've ever seen in my life. 0 out of 10, would not bang.
Garbage.
Didn't even have a Martha mention. Didn't even have Batfleck. didn't even have Jesse Eisenberg. Where were they? Where were those characters? No, but like, for real. It was really good.
It exceeded any expectations I had.
Before this, you were Team Iron Man, right? Is it just because you like Iron Man? Like, is it
yes.
Because he's funny?
He had the cooler people on his team.
No, he didn't. He didn't even have Bobby Newport.
The only cool person on Captain America's team was Ant-Man.
I like all the characters on it, except for Black Widow, who basically is actually the team to be on. But like, I like all the characters on Cap's team better. I hate Rhodey's an asshole. Like, he was immediately a huge dick to Steve, like right out the gate. I didn't like him. I like Vision, I guess that's true. But I like Scarlet Witch better. I like Ant-Man. I like Winter Soldier. I like Sam and his like competition with Winter Soldier to be Cap's best friend. But I like all the characters as characters better on Cap's team.
But Iron Man had Spider-Man and Black Panther.
It's just Spider-Justin. That's who I discovered. That's what it is. He's Justin. I thought he sounded like a Beetleborg because of his little kid voice coming out of the adult body, but it's Justin. It's totally Justin. Like, the way he was talking reminded me of, I'm the new Blue Ranger! This is so cool! That's exactly what it is.
Because it is cool! You guys are assholes.
No!
Yes!
No! This is argument. Yes, no, yes, no. Civil War.
Something about trees.
Stand your ground with trees because nature and paper.
I will be a tree and say no.
Speaking of that, though, I really liked that scene. I thought it really set, like, the stage for Cap's point of view.
Oh, yeah.
And also, like... Let's be real, though.
Captain America's totally right.
Yeah, he is. Because, you know, he's way better. I mean, to all Tony's is about assuaging his own guilt of everything. And like Cap says, making the government say it's okay wouldn't save lives. Like, if they had been in charge when Avengers happened or when the Sokovia stuff happened, it's inevitable there'd be casualties, but it wouldn't be okay just because they were allowed to go there. Like you said, all it does is shift the blame.
Especially considering, like, the government wanted to nuke New York.
Yeah!
It was getting invaded. That's a great point
that I didn't even think about. And like you said, if they get sent somewhere they didn't want to, or if there's something going bad that he feels he needs to help with, it's just all around a bad idea. And, like, if that was, like, the case in which the Accords were, like, tied in with S.H.I.E.L.D. and Cap's like, hey, there's a situation, Bruin. I think Hydra might be in here. No, 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 it's fine. Don't do anything. That's what they would have said, and he's just been through that. So, like, he knows. But real quick, back to the Peggy thing, is that obviously they didn't reference anything that was like, oh, let's reference the black goo of Peggy, but, like, I think seeing the series, like, made you sort of more attached to Peggy than you already would be from seeing the movies.
Yeah, because, so, I mean, like, she was in Captain America, and then, like, other than that, it's only been, like, very small parts and just, like, little things. But, like, seeing the show, which I still hope gets renewed, it builds her character and makes her a character you actually care about, as opposed to just this tiny character that you know is supposed to be important to the mythos, but you don't really care about.
Yeah, because, like, she had a great role in Cap's first movie, but, like, just expanding on her own, like, it made the funeral more meaningful. Like, it was a really neat, like, way of appreciating the whole universe in terms of watching the show really added to it. Because, like, even when Sharon was saying that quote that Cap was listening to so much, like, I could hear Peggy saying it, like, in her accent. So, like, it was just really cool that, like, it enhanced it. Oh, man. Oh, something that pissed me off. Well, it pissed me off in the fact that it didn't happen. Something that George mentioned to me. You know the scene with super cool down-age CGI Tony with his parents?
Oh, God, that was awful.
He said that would have been such a neat, a cool moment to have a Jarvis cameo. I'm like, I'm kind of mad that didn't happen because... It would have been so perfect because, like, the moviegoers know that, like, of Jarvis is, like, the AI that he named off after his butler or whatever. So, like, it wouldn't be confusing to them, but, like, the people that had seen the show would be like, oh, it's Jarvis, you know? It would have been such a cool little thing to have.
Movie ruined.
Yeah, it's over now. But that would have been cool. Like, I didn't even think about that happening. Also, something else which he told me, which I didn't... Well, first of all, did you know that the black lady that told Tony about her son was a plant? that wasn't real.
Really?
I mean, the kid was a real dead kid, but she wasn't his mom, and she was making that, or approaching him as part of Zemo's plan.
Was there a reason to know this? Like, was something shown to know this? Because I didn't.
If there was, I missed it, but I missed that, and also apparently she's going to be in, I think, Luke Cage's series? That's what he told me? I think it was Luke Cage's. It could have been Iron Fist, but I think it was Luke Cage's. Yeah.
Like, so the actress cool. or just the character?
The actress, I think. The character, because he described the character as like an evil Olivia Pope from Scandal. So, I did not realize that that was a plant. But the thought that she was going to be in like one of the Netflix series is just cool. Like, it's a cool little tie-in. You wouldn't know. Like me. I didn't know. Until you watch the series later, and then I probably still wouldn't have recognized her because it has been so freaking long.
Yeah.
And she's not the breakout character of Civil War.
The Black Lady.
Yeah, not the Black Panther, the Black Lady.
Fuck Black Panther, I'm all about Black Lady.
Her gimmick was just being black, but I don't understand her problem. No, but Black Panther was super cool. His costume looked really cool, and I really liked the actor. Good. And like they set him up really well. Go ahead, what?
I'm gushing.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say that, like, it's weird because I kind of like him a little bit more than the Earth's Mightiest Heroes version, but at the same time, it's almost like they just pulled the Earth's Mightiest Heroes version into the movie. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, oh, they just made him live action like they did with Aunt May. They just used their magic. Like, so I'm super looking forward to his stuff.
I need the Black Panther movie, like, immediately. Like, they did such a good job in, like, the little time they had to set his character up.
Yeah, and what's neat is that, like you said, he was in it little, but they stretched it out enough to where it still felt like he was throughout the whole movie, like he was almost a secondary main character.
Yeah.
Even though, like, if you add it up, it probably amounted to, like, a 10-minute YouTube video. But they paced it really well. And it was a good introduction for him. And, like, it all kind of made sense because, like, obviously the way they segued it with, like, the bomb and stuff, but just, like the way Ultron set it up with Wakanda and what went down there with Ultron stealing the vibranium?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I always get it confused with animanium. And, like, that was just a neat little, like, nugget that, like, led to this. It's a really weird way of putting it, but, like, so it was already set up without you even really knowing it. But then you do know it. It's like, I didn't know, but then I do know. And the ending, like I mentioned on Twitter, is a total reverse Martha.
I don't have no idea what that means.
Because the ending of Batman vs. Superman, they mentioned a parent and it needed the conflict, but this one they mentioned the parent and it fucking exceeded the conflict.
Okay, I got it. I just didn't know exactly what Martha we were referring to. Now I understand.
Oh. And like, Tony was understandably upset, but he totally flew off the handle. Like,
he blew
like
it out of the water. I'm like, dude, calm down. Like, you know it wasn't his fault.
Yeah, like, and I think that, like, don't get me wrong, I like Iron Man because, like, he's super entertaining, but, like, that really was a huge reason of why I like Cap better is, like, it was a small moment, but at the beginning of the movie, Cap acknowledged that he was wrong, that when Crossbones mentioned Bucky, he, like, his emotions got in the way, and, like, he felt bad about that, and it was a smaller moment, too, but, like, I mean, he cared that that happened, but Tony full-on admitted he didn't give a fuck, you know, like, I know that, basically, that I'm in the wrong here, but I don't give a fuck. He killed my parents a million years ago, and it wasn't even Tony Stark's dad from Agent Carter, it was the other guy. So, yeah, like, that's, like, a huge reason of why, because it was way off the handle, and then, like, to be like, that's not even your shield, it's my daddy's. But his dad totally would have been Team Cap. And, like, there's interesting things to think about with him dropping the shield, whether he could take on a different one of the mantles that Steve took on over the years, but I get a feeling he's just going to get another one made in Wakanda when he's there.
probably. That's where all the vibranium is anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, because I think that as cool as it would be to see for, like, a movie or something, I don't think that with Cap being such a front runner, like, in the spotlight of the MCU, that I don't think they would do a Nomad or anything like that. So, I think that they'll probably just give him a new shield. Possibly, like, maybe a different design or something. I don't think they'll get rid of Star look, but, like, maybe, I don't know, do something different.
Yeah, because they... Still. God damn it, Hana, you're a fucking turd. Because they got that one shield that's like a kind of like a normal ass shield shape.
Yeah, I think that was like early on.
Circle. Yeah.
But I'm sure there's been stuff also that's been slightly different, or maybe some different designs on the shield that I just haven't seen. But we'll see. Like, there's two things that I was thinking about. In the A, I mentioned that Black Widow was kind of like the team to be, because I think she saw that she picked Iron Man's side because it was more like a, hey, let's just all sit down and talk and not fight. Kind of like when Cap and Iron Man were talking about let's sign it and then amend it later before he admitted that he was holding Wanda hostage.
Yeah.
I think that she was more in line with Cap in a lot of ways, but she just sort of picked Iron Man so that to keep the peace. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense. Like, she was the most level-headed. She was on both sides, basically. Like, she saw, like, well, we could sign this and amend it. Let's just not blow it out of proportion. But I think that... And I love the way they handled it, because when we first saw, like, the team lineups back in the concept art, it was like, I couldn't believe that she was on Iron Man's side, since she has such a close friendship with Cap, and, like, she never really got along with Iron Man that much, you know? Not like they fought, like, they hated each other, but you know what I mean. So, like, I think that she was perfectly handled for that, and, like, I was really happy with it, and, like, I liked little moments, like, her going to see him after Peggy's funeral and stuff like that. And I was thinking, like, there was a couple days before the movie came out, or at least before I saw it, there was, like, buzz about Marvel seriously now considering the Black Widow movie. And I was thinking, it's unfortunate that we know the Marvel movie schedule now, because the way her character left off will be a perfect place to sneak in a solo movie.
Yeah.
Because she's kind of off on her own, and there's, like, oh, could be reasons why other people aren't in her movies if they're not, and so, I mean, not that there couldn't be a situation made later, but it would have been a cool time for it. And I'm also kind of sad we wouldn't get, like, just a full-on Secret Avengers movie with Cap's team, but I get a feeling that's what the first part of the Avengers movies are going to be, is, like, the two different Avengers teams eventually having to come back together. Cap's definitely got more people.
That is true.
Within Ant-Man's movie, the Avengers movie, they're going to have to resolve Ant-Man's thing because he's a fugitive again, like, on a way larger scale.
Ant-Man and the Wasp come out before Avengers?
Does it come out
in between the two? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's going to have to... Well, they're all... I don't know how they're going to resolve that, honestly.
Yeah, because, like, I thought it came out before, so that's why I was like, oh,
they're
shit.
All free, but it's a matter of, like, clearing their names.
Yeah, because, like, at the end of Ant-Man, his name was cleared from... You know, breaking into Hank's when he was just on the run from the police, but now it's like on a grand, on the run from the government scale. Because when I was watching the movie, I was thinking in my head that Ant-Man's movie was before Avengers, but I think it's between the two. It's either between the two or after both of them, but it's definitely not before. That's the thing, because, like, everyone else is like, Sam's tied to his movies and Scarlet Witch is also tied to Cap's movies usually right now, or the other movies, so, like, they don't have to go do their solo movies right now. I'll be interested to see how that happens. And I also thought that Ant-Man's new suit was going to be made by the Avengers, but apparently that's just what him and Hank are working on.
Yeah.
I was also surprised to see Giant Man. I thought they would save that for his next movie. So that was, like, a nice little surprise.
I wasn't surprised, because everywhere spoiled it.
But I didn't hear about it until I saw it. I mean, they show it on the ads now, but I didn't know about it until the movie, which was kind of nice.
Because I saw the Lego set multiple times.
Oh, I didn't.
And the pop vinyl multiple times.
Oh, I didn't either, so I guess I'm glad I stayed away from it, just because I thought they would save something like that for his next movie.
It admittedly made, like, the airport battle sequence in general was just the best.
Yeah, it really was, and there were so many funny moments, like, even without, like, around before the sequence, like I said, I love the whole, I'm not going to move my seat, or the bird costume, or, and, like, him questioning Black Panther about dressing up like a cat was great. Like, it was one of the preview clips, but it's still funny, the Ant-Man, like, starstruck over Cap. Thanks for thinking of me, and I love that basically Ant-Man was a good recruit for Cap's team because his like position is just F the police. Like, that's why he's like, he seems like a good guy to recruit for this. And like, I liked in the battle how, like,
if you agree to this, we're all gonna be criminals. Yeah, well, what else is new?
And like, I loved, like, when he got his shield back and he says, "I believe this is yours, Mr. Captain America." And like, and I liked how both sides had, like, heroes that neither side knew that they could recruit, so they were, like, both surprised by, like, Ant-Man and by, like, Spider-Man and stuff.
Yeah. What is it with insect-based heroes being witty?
Yeah, I don't know. I love when Ant-Man was in Iron Man's suit and he goes, "What is that?" He goes, "It's your conscience. We don't talk a lot."
Fucking Ant-Man's the goddamn best.
I know, right? So good. Like, Paul Rudd was such a good choice for that. And I like how, again, it was like one of those small connections that just having Falcon appear in his movie when he stole that thing, like, created the perfect bridge to this movie for that. Yeah.
I also like how we saw that end credit sequence again.
Wait, you mean the Spider-Man one?
No, the one that was, I think it was an Ant-Man, where it showed Captain America with Falcon that were holding Bucky captive. And he was like, "Well, I think I know a guy."
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, okay.
We saw that again.
Yeah, because I thought about that too. And I remember reading, I don't remember if there was an original plan or what the original plan for that after credit scene was, but I do remember reading that, like, they decided that last minute-ish because they were filming that movie at the time. But I didn't know that it was part of the movie until,
yeah,
like,
I didn't,
we saw
I didn't either,
the trailers and stuff.
Because as I was watching, I was trying to mentally place it, and then it just happened. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, that is kind of funny. Like, I'll have to look up that, like, maybe what the original credit scene was. But, yeah, I remember that them saying that they decided to include that, like, closer to the deadline than usual or something. And yeah, because I thought about that, too, because I thought that had happened pre-movie. Like, they had found Bucky before the movie started. So, yeah, and apparently, like, because we were late, so I missed the scene of, like, Frozen Winter Soldier and when you first learned about the keywords.
Oh.
Like, I came in during the battle scene. Like, it was really funny because, like, the theater's super dark and we couldn't see. So we kept walking in front of the same aisle three times. It was funny. Like, we walked all the way down to the right. And then we walked all the way down to the left. All the way down to the right. And then we realized our seats were on the left. And we just couldn't see him because it was so dark. And, like, I just felt bad for all the people that had to deal with us. But, like, I didn't miss too much. And, like, other than that scene, it's funny because I assumed it was going to open on that battle scene. That we kind of got a couple preview clips for. And I was kind of right. I was like half right. Let's see. There's not too much else to cover from it. But it was really good. And it makes, obviously there's going to be more movies semi-soon. But, like, it makes the wait agonizing for, like, the next one with all the major players in it. And it makes me think about how nice, like, The Flash and Arrow and, like, TV are, because even though you have to wait the summer, but, like, it's so much more immediate when it's happening and you get more time with everything and you don't have to wait basically the length of a summer or longer between each episode. That's a hiatus for you. Because we have Doctor Strange and then Black Panther's movie and Spider-Man's movie and Guardians and Thor, I think, are all the ones.
Doctor Strange is this year. And then next year is Guardians 2, Spider-Man, and then Thor.
Yeah. I think Black Panther is next year, too.
2018 is Black Panther.
Oh, yeah, it's right before.
Then Avengers Part 1 and then Ant-Man. And then Avengers. 2019 is Captain Marvel and then Avengers Part 2 and whatever else they decided to squeeze in there because Inhumans got canned.
Yeah. So, like...
I like the reasoning behind why it got canned.
What did you hear?
That they canned it because no one wanted to do it.
Oh, really?
Like, what I heard was that the previous, director for Marvel or whatever wanted to do an Inhumans movie to compete with X-Men.
Oh.
And no one really wanted to do an Inhumans movie. And so as soon as that guy got fired or quit or left or whatever happened to him and, the new guy came in, they, just shelved the Inhumans movie because no one wanted to do it.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I mean, all I basically heard is that it was shelved and, people were speculating, that maybe it was because of the TV series or, because they just didn't think it would do good. I didn't think it was an odd choice considering, Guardians was also an odd choice and ended up doing so good. I'm not mad at the idea of them just letting it focus on the TV show so that you don't have to worry about any, characters being held back from either one or, any worrying about what they would do in terms of the connectivity. But if they do it, that's the one movie I think that I would like there to be more connectivity on since they started the Inhumans on the TV series, you know?
Yeah.
Even if it's just, having Daisy in it or something. Or, even just mentioning it. It just would seem weird to... Or, a waste, I guess, to have this and to not use it. I still think that they need to find out Coulson's alive, at some point. I don't need the Avengers on S.H.I.E.L.D., but I kind of want Coulson to appear in the Avengers movies again like he was, but, just to connect it a little bit, you know?
Yeah. There's still a pretty big disconnect, but it's an okay disconnect.
It is kind of... I didn't even think about this, but it is kind of awkward with the way the production is in terms of the TV show and the movies and stuff.
Yeah, because they've done it such a different pace.
Yeah. But it's it's just weird because, Coulson was kind of, the Avengers, one of the Avengers cameo characters, so he could be that again and sort of give this window to the show and give the show more viewers as well. I guess if the show wasn't so messy, not messy in terms of being bad, but I mean if the situation wasn't so messy, if Cap knew about Coulson and Coulson was in a cameo in Civil War, then Daisy could have been on Cap's lineup or something. I think she probably would be on Team Cap because she wouldn't want to sign a registration thing.
Yeah, I don't think anyone in S.H.I.E.L.D. would want to sign anything.
Yeah.
Because as we went over, it's an awful idea.
Yeah, it really is. And that, the show would get to explore that more because the whole mutant aspect of it is not there. But yeah, good movie. I'm really looking forward to seeing everything that's next. Even though there could be some slightly better connections with the TV series, they're just the whole MCU in general. It's a huge achievement.
It's a nice place.
Which is just kind of awesome. It's a nice place. It's a magical place.
It is.
The MCU is Tahiti. I knew it. Okay, I think that's it, right? No other shows? Because we don't have TTMF this week, and there's no other shows.
I hope not.
Nope. Nope. All right. Now it's time for...
Final Things, MP3.
Final Things!
N3P. Classic me. Okay, so next week is TTMF, so make sure you get them questions in so we can get them answers in. All that good stuff. Yeah. Thanks for listening to us for 6 years. And putting up with our nonsense. 6 years in an episode, and then you quit after this one because of that terribly acted bit at the beginning.
6 years later, and I have one question. Why?